During the final years of his life, he was constantly thinking of doing more. This didn't seem enough to him. It didn't seem to achieve the goals that he was seeking. And he decided perhaps he should give everything up and become a hermit, live in a cave, live in a small hut in the woods, perhaps become a pilgrim and go from site to site in Russia. And in fact, with this aim in mind, as quite an old man, in 1910, he simply fled his estate, left his family, his wife, the world as a whole. But before he could find a place to live as a hermit, he fell quite ill. And while at a train station that was then known as Ostapova, a minor train station, now is of course known as the Tolstoy train station, he lay there for 10 days in the humble rooms of the station master, slowly dying. Already very famous at this point, the whole world began to hear about this story, and followers and admirers and journalists, including from other countries, began to gather in greater and greater numbers at this tiny little train station outside Moscow. Hourly bulletins were dispatched declaring what the state of his health was, and these were published in newspapers all around the world, and of course in Russia. And finally, on November 7th, 1910, he died. Leading many people to declare him to be a martyr and even a saint. Now, the problem with this story about the externals of Tolstoy's life is it, in many ways, I think, though true, exaggerates the breaks in his life. In particular, it exaggerates how sudden this conversion to a new way of thinking was in this so-called third period of his life, this conversion to a new religion and to a philosophy of simplicity. And the deeper story is, in fact, I think, more complicated, more interesting, and also more entwined with the ideas of his time. To see this, I think it's useful to revisit his earlier life, and of course, his writings, which are his clearest expression. In fact, it turns out that from very early in Tolstoy's life, we see that he was preoccupied with self-perfection, as we know so many educated Russians were at the time. The search for truth, for virtue, became extremely important to him even in his late teens and early 20s. Consider, for example, this entry from his own diary. This is in the mid-1840s. He's in his early 20s, and he writes as follows. Ivanov arrived. I talked too long with him. Cowardice. I didn't go to Bleklemishev's house. Feebleness of energy. At gymnastics, I failed to walk the bars. Cowardice. I didn't do a single trick because it hurts. Softness. At Gorchakov's, I enjoyed lies. At home, I didn't study English. Lack of resolution. I got up late. Sloth. With Begachev and Islavin, I was vain. On Tverskoy Boulevard, the sort of main drag in Moscow, on Tverskoy Boulevard, I wanted to show off. And it goes on and on and on like this, as did so many entries. His diaries are also filled with enormous lists of rules, how he should be firmer, how he should work harder, how he should study better, how he shouldn't gamble as much, how he should drink less, how he should be nicer to people. And he kept breaking these rules and writing more and more lists, obsessed with a type of self-perfection, even as a young man. Most importantly, Tolstoy's search for self-understanding, moral perfection, can be seen in his stories and novels. For example, in his very first literary work, the trilogy Childhood, Boyhood, and Youth, he takes the conventional structure of reminiscences of childhood. It's a popular thing that existed in other countries as well. But he uses it above all to explore what had already become, from his diaries, his favorite theme, himself. Psychological self-analysis of his own developing consciousness. These themes of self-examination and self-perfection are even more evident in Tolstoy's major work of his middle period, the great epic novel, War and Peace, the first draft of which was completed in 1869. This book, of course, is massive, not only in pages, but in construction and conception. And many critics, in fact, including Tolstoy himself, have suggested that it's not actually a single novel in any conventional sense at all. In fact, several have argued that it's really several novels, or as literary scholars would say, novelistic genres woven together in some enormous but connected structure.